Hey, what's going on, Facebook Live? Welcome to the world of Sims Lefko and Miller, Paramount
right.
Sims.
There we go.
Bang, give him one. And I want one too. All right, we are live.
What is
on
up with
Facebook.
That? Where was your all right, okay? I mean, what,
it's Facebook Live
right.
/ Sims and Lefko.
Right.
So, for the listeners of Sims and Lefko listening, we're actually doing this episode live. So, we're going to get live comments. It's episode 61. So, do you have a 61?
Man, I
did no thinking about 61.
I did
61.
Absolutely no thinking about 61 either.
Do you
Holy
know anyone
cow.
That wore 61?
No.
If you know someone that wore 61, comment section below.
Good question.
Producer Josh, do you have a Rutgers 61?
There were no guys on the 2006 Rutgers. Football roster that wore number 61.
Seriously,
so I do
look
not
up
have...
famous jersey number 61.
We're gonna get to that. In the meantime, control room, let me see those beautiful faces, the beautiful people that make this all possible. Hey,
Whoa.
I don't know. Jake's holding up something. I can't read it, Jake. I don't have good eyes. All right, can I see Gabe's stinky things? Can I see these things? Oh yeah, Facebook Live just got a taste of Gabe's fingers.
So Sports disgusting. Reference has like a database where they keep track of all this
yes.
stuff, and their 61s are Bill George, Bob DeMarco, and Nate Newton.
How did
Nate Newton.
Those are their 61s.
His van of cocaine. How do we not get Nate Newton?
Facebook Live, all right? Come on, I'm Matt Miller. Oh my God. No, but seriously, he did do that. He did that. All right, so this is our last kind of big hour-long podcast before the NFL draft, and we want to kind of do a lot of things today. We want to stake our claim. Which guys do you really want to attach your name to for the next 5 years? We're going to do bold predictions. We're going to have a man crush draft where we each get a few guys. I've made some too.
Right.
I don't want you to see about guys that we want our team or just really have enjoyed through this process.
Sure.
But we want this to be an open conversation. And on Facebook Live, we've never done the podcast live.
Right.
Any comments you have? What do you think of my shirt?
Bring it on.
What do you think about Sims's face? Is it weird looking?
Awesome
I
as
think
always.
So. Yes. Put it in the comment section below. What questions you have for Matt Miller? Because you get hundreds of questions a day
on
Twitter.
Chance.
This is your chance to ask it live. We're going to shout you out, hook you up. I kind of like the podcast live.
Yeah.
We've been doing this live as it seems anyway. But one thing I like to do on the podcast is we are the day before the draft.
Right.
And I think, you know, the day before the draft for us, we're running around, we're getting video ready, we're getting things printed out. The day before a test, I'm afraid. What are NFL teams doing the day before the draft? Is everything done?
No.
Or are they still scrambling? What do you know just from being with the Patriots?
I mean, like NFL coaches, are their work's done. So they're just really worried about their OTAs, things like that. They're not doing any more prep for the
yes.
draft that's out of their hands. Front offices.
Yeah, like what were they? What were you doing? Like when you were in the room watching, were you watching film the day before?
Yeah, I still could have been making tapes of guys. They said, you know what, we might want to sign this guy, and the last day of the draft is a free agent. You know, here's a DVD of his plays. Can you put it in and make a tape for Belichick or Nick Caserio so they could watch it real quick?
So it was more the later guys.
Really late.
You
I mean,
make sure that anyone whose name could come up, you better have a tape.
Exactly.
The
gotcha.
Right. right.
The, like what general managers today, they're stacking the board. Like this is it. Like you've done all the work.
You do that today's today. Day. You don't do that in like last
no,
week.
You did it today because you had
but
meetings.
It's constantly reconfiguring too, just because of things they hear. Teams, you know, they have connections with that maybe have led them to know what they're thinking a little bit. So there is certainly some reorganizing.
So you're
still
telling
going
me like
on.
GMs and stuff are in the board right now and going, I have Jalen Ramsey is my number one. I have Tunsil's my
Giants
number two.
The Giants and Jets are in New York right now stacking the board.
But I would say this. I would say a lot of those, almost all teams are very confident in kind of their first round, those top few picks, top players. That's all organized. I think now it's about formulating a game plan as far as, oh, here's the second, third round. What if this guy goes two picks before us? Where are we going to go? What direction? That's where it really comes down to.
My other question would be, have they been talking trades all week? I'm seeing a lot of buzz about the Browns want to trade.
That
are
the
they on the
thing.
Phones a lot right now?
There's a lot of, okay, we're at 11, you're at 8. If this guy's on the board, would you be, if our guy's on the board.
So a lot of contingency.
You're
so they're not making
things
up. Do they make deals before they see how the draft unfolds?
I've never heard of that happening.
Okay.
Well, I'll say this, and listen, I'm not, you know, any expert, but my year working in the front office with New England, the day before, I certainly started to hear the phone ring in that room we've talked about a lot with the garage door that closes all over the players.
So for people that haven't listened to Sims and Lefko before, this was a room where Belichick would go in and only the head honchos and Robert Kraft would go in.
John Robinson, who now is the GM of the Titans, he had a key to get in there and look at it.
And there was another key needed to lower or raise this metal door over their big board so no one could see it. So you're saying today, the day before the draft, the phone starts
ringing.
Phone
starts to ring. And we didn't always have people in that room, right? Because, like, what if Belichick and them are not in there meeting at that time?
You wanted to pick it up,
I had to go pick it up, right?
You would?
So I had to, because they'd be like, somebody's going to pick up that phone.
So who was on the other end?
Bob Quinn, who's now the GM of the Detroit Lions. He was in that office. John Robinson there. They would just yell out of their office, hey, what are you guys going to pick up that phone? And I'd go pick up the phone and be like, New England Patriots, please.
And then who
the
would
first
it be?
Time, it was Trent Baalke the first time I answered the phone. Yeah.
The GM of the 49ers.
Yes, which was really interesting. I was like, oh, hello, Mr. Baalke. And he was like, oh, I'm trying to talk to Bill. And I was like, well, hold on. Let me get somebody that can direct you in the right direction. And then we got him amazing. On with Nan.
Well, I know in Kansas City, when John Dorsey goes home every night, he shuffles the board. So that if someone walked in, like took a picture or was trying to leak anything,
they have no idea.
They have no idea because he changes it every night.
Interesting.
Right. Is that phone number readily available? Like, where does that phone number exist?
That's
like
a good question. Is there a Rolodex?
Yes, there is a Rolodex as far as, yes, they actually, I could be wrong here, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. They have to, every team has to submit a number for the other teams to call in so the trade things can work, right?
Yeah, because you want to be able to access anybody.
So that's why the day before he's calling the draft meeting room, but there's nobody in the draft meeting room the day before. So he's called that room because that's the number.
It's not a phone number that's in the yellow pages that your average person
can call. No, definitely not. They have like one of those phones that's it's going to be.
A bat phone.
Right. I mean, it's got like six lines on it and five people to pick it up.
You guys talked about contingency plans. How many do you think these teams are working out in terms of if they go here and we go there? Do you think they're ready for any situation?
I think they are. These guys, they read mock drafts because they want to know, okay, like they might not put any value in how guys like myself view players or needs, but they want to know what possibilities are.
Yeah, and what if it did fall out that way?
I can't tell you how many times, the first time this has ever happened to me, to have a team call and be like, okay, wait, what are you hearing about this team? Because they want as much information as they can get.
Right.
So sometimes there's, you know, there's competition there and you don't want to leak any of your plans. There are other places like Bob Quinn and John Robinson. Right. They've probably talked about what each of them would like to do, even though they pick at 15 and 16. So there are contingencies.
Right there.
I was going to say, the other interesting thing, too, is, and I always found this interesting in New England, and we hear about this a lot in the scouting right now, and I'm sure he knows teams that do it, too, but the round grades. Oh, I put a third round grade on this prospect. Teams like New England don't do that. They don't put a round grade on a player. They do not do that.
Really?
They go on a point grading scale system. And that makes it very easy for them to organize where they have players listed. So if Jalen Ramsey is a 6.9, Vernon Hargraves is a 6.7, but, you know, Jerron Reed might be a 6.8. So now they've
automatically... So it's easier to compare position to position.
Exactly.
And that's how I do my rankings. Like if you look today, the big board came out. It's the same deal. But I know teams that do... we have a 1-3, and that means he's a first round. We take him late first. But then you have to organize all your 1-3s and stack them in order.
Right.
Jeez.
And then figure out how you want
I don't
to
have that.
This is made for football coaches with OCD.
How many 1-3s could you potentially have?
I mean, you probably have, in a good year, maybe 8.
Okay.
I mean, there are never 32 first-round players in the draft, ever.
And even among those 8, you're still stacking it perfectly so that you know the 1 through 8.
Yeah, so if our pick comes up at 31 and we have 5 1-3s on the board, you're taking the top guy, is how it's supposed to work.
Man.
So, best player
I've never heard this stuff before.
We talk about,
but, I'm sure people on Facebook haven't. Again, if you have any questions or comments about what's going on,
we actually do have a comment that we'd like to run.
Okay. Really?
We got our first comment. And it's a good one.
All right, first comment. It's from my mom.
Mama Lefko.
Tell the boys Mama Lefko is watching.
Hey, Mama Lefko, I want to say hello.
What do you want to say to her?
I really like your mom a lot more than I like you.
Yeah.
Mama Lefko.
And I could do a random radio interview in like Tucson, and my mom would be like, great job. And I'd be like, how did you? I didn't even tell anybody I was doing
that. That's the opposite of
mom,
my
you're
family.
The best. I love you. Yeah, they call you during
my,
videos.
My family was like, what'd you do today? I was like, oh, I made 10 videos. Really? What were they on? Oh, yeah, great. Yeah, we'll watch them someday.
Anyway, can you pick me up?
Right.
The other thing that I want to ask you guys is I feel like your views of the draft has changed drastically in terms of before you were the low level in the totem pole, weren't allowed. Then you came here and you were kind of trying to figure out what it was like as an analyst.
Right.
And now you're doing all the guys, you're watching a few hundred.
Right.
You start off with Bleacher Report and you kind of wanted to get into it.
Right.
And then you started off as the guy doing mock drafts. And now it's changed dramatically. So I want to start off with you. How has the draft changed in terms of when you first started? What was your first draft like as Bleacher Report's draft guy?
My first draft doing video was 2012. So it was like Andrew Luck. And it was just, hey, we're going to do there are five picks. We're going to do a video and break them down.
Yeah, so what obviously about now, even just like the mocks before that? Like, when was your first time?
The first time I did a mock draft, I was a senior in high school, so 2001. Right. Yeah. But I was hooked, you know, like it was all I thought about.
Right. Yeah.
But the first time I did one that someone read, yes. I was doing them when I was eight, you know, before there was even internet. I was like pounding one out on the computer home and printing it out.
What about your first one on Bleacher Report? What year was that?
It would have been 2011, would have been my first one. So pretty historic draft class. Cam Newton, J.J. Watt, really, really good draft
class. What was your big hit in that draft class?
It was awful, I'm sure. You know what? In that draft class, the one thing I'll say, I really liked Andy Dalton. Like, I thought he was a first-round quarterback.
Right.
And you look at him compared to Blaine Gabbert, Jake Locker, or Christian Ponder.
Right.
Like, he's been a lot better than the other quarterbacks. Yeah. So that's probably one thing I actually hit on that I don't give myself enough credit for.
Back then, were you just kind of guessing? Were you reading other places? And then how does that compare to now?
Then I was guessing. It was, you know, I would read the draft magazines. I would watch, you know, the broadcast networks and be like, okay, well, this is what I think. I mean, I watched college football all the time, but I wasn't informed. That's completely different now because of this platform. Now you get the teams calling you.
Yeah, what's happening now?
I was up till 4 in the morning doing a mock draft because every time I got a pick in, somebody would call me and they would be like, oh, here's more information. You know, you have players calling you being like, this team's showing a lot of interest to me. They're asking for practice tape. They're asking for my phone number. They're like, talk about flight information. So now, like then, if I got some picks right, it was luck. Now it's more about all the information that you can pull in.
And what has your evolution of covering the draft been like? What do you think of it now compared to being a player?
Well, as a player, I was topical. I mean, you know, of course I knew, as a player, I just knew the top guys, the first round names, let's say, the top quarterbacks, and was my team interested in drafting a quarterback that I was going to have to compete with? Or when I was the starter, are we going to draft some old linemen to protect me? Which actually they did do the draft before I got hurt. But then I went to New England. I got there, got a really big taste of it, and really learned about evaluating players. That was the biggest thing.
What did you learn from that? What did you not know, and then what did you know?
I think little things. First of all, being able to maximize your tape, like watching tape, right? You always go, I mean, how did you pick out which defensive tackle he was? Well, guys like John Robinson, the GM of the Titans, taught me little tricks like, hey, if you want to know who he is, you know, pay attention to like where the wristbands are.
Like, so I'll go in and watch film with Sims, and he'll be like, oh, did you see Ramsey on that play? I'm like, how can you see Ramsey? The guy's this big. He's the one with the towel coming out. And I'm like, oh, so John Robinson taught you
definitely.
That.
Those are little things that just made it more efficient. So you're not sitting there going, which guy is he?
I can't tell. Checking numbers and stuff.
It's not always HD.
Yes, exactly right. And with all the crazy college uniforms, it can be very hard to see the numbers sometimes now with, like, you know, Ohio State wearing all black and these little red numbers. Film, you're like, what the heck? Who is that guy?
Yeah.
So things like that. Things about evaluating offense and defensive linemen. One of the, like, I can remember defensive linemen, we've talked about it, the amount of time you're on the ground, things like that.
Yeah.
That was heavily downgraded in New England. And I was like, why? This guy makes a lot of plays, but we don't have a very good grade on him. Well, he's on the ground a lot. You know, that means he can mess up other guys on our defense and what they do. He can hurt somebody on our team, and we don't know what we're going to get from him. Oh, that was a good little point there.
Yeah.
What
about as a media person? What is your take? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is your third draft.
We could be getting into dangerous territory. I'm going to preclude this now. From when you first got to Bleacher Report about 2.5 years ago to now, what have you learned about the media and the way they cover the draft and the opinion makers out there?
Ooh, man, this is we have enough time on this podcast to go through this?
Be careful.
Well, I think my first draft of Bleacher Report, listen, I was still feeling my way out. I was certainly watching the film, trying to evaluate the guys. The big thing with learning how to do the draft is where to value these people.
Yes.
Where are you going to value them? That's really the most important thing because that's what it's all about, especially the first round. So those were things I was not sure about at first. As time goes on, I think a lot of these so-called draft experts are full of
Don't say any names.
Full of BS, full of crap either way. So, yes. And I do wonder what kind of work they're doing. But as I got here more and more, I became more confident because really through my conversations with friends in the NFL, the coaches, you know, I know the front office people. And I would say, you know, listen, I see this. What do you think? And they, you know, they gave me reassuring confidence. Say, hey, Christopher, your eye is very good. Just trust your eye. You know what you're talking about. And that allowed me then to start making bold predictions. And that allows me when you guys give me credit for being ahead of the curve, maybe before And I just learned to trust myself in my evaluation.
I think we're in an interesting stage of the draft where I feel like 2-3 years ago, if someone had an interesting take, it kind of made ripples. And now, because there's so many opinion makers out there,
right.
No opinion really stands out.
Right.
You know, don't go, Jared Goff is not as good. Everyone's like, okay, whatever. Yeah. Like, that's your opinion.
Yeah.
I feel like we're over that, which is great as a society.
Right.
Now it's, how many guys can you uncover? How much tape can you watch? How many coaches can you speak to? How many nuggets can you bring to the table?
Right.
And it's pretty good. So I think that leads us into the next topic, which is setting the record straight. This is our chance. Yeah. You guys have watched a ton of film. I want to get it on the record now. Everyone knows you love Teddy Bridgewater and Alshon Jeffrey. You set your claim on that.
Yeah.
You stake your claim. I want you guys to put your big takes that in a few years we're going to look back and go, that was Matt Miller or Chris Sims' opinion.
Right.
I want to start off with Matt Miller. What's
because
your first
we will save episode 61 of the podcast.
Yeah, we're going to save this and watch this because we're going to hold ourselves accountable.
Right.
So what do you got?
First one is guys that I'm going to stake my claim on.
I guess we can do it on anything. It doesn't just have to be a guy, right?
Maybe
I can
anything.
Make it a generality a little bit, right?
Well, I think that Noah Spence will be a steal of the draft.
Okay.
I really do. And I know we're going to talk
and
about
that. And I know you guys
later.
Differ on this.
Yes, we
but
do.
Every year, you know, it's like you want that one guy that you're going to be like, I'm putting my name with him.
Yes.
I think he'll be a steal of the draft. He might be a second rounder. So Thursday night, I'm sure my Twitter feed is going to be awful because people are like, where is this guy at? Why wasn't he drafted?
Right.
I know the off-field stuff. I'm comfortable with it.
Right.
I've known him for 2 years, so maybe I'm a little biased because I took the time to get to know the player. But
for sure.
I think he could be special as an edge rusher. Get him in the right scheme, and oh, my gosh,
that
he
is the big
off.
Thing.
He could be.
With all
doubt.
These guys, yeah. I'm going to put this. If they go to a bad situation, if Noah
ruined.
Spence goes to a place that's not good for him,
right.
I will give you leniency. But what I will say is Noah Spence, Matt Miller is now with Noah Spence.
Oh, baby.
I like it.
Oh,
You feel good?
I feel good about it. Yeah.
He staked his claim.
He could be a star. He is definitely one of the boom or bust prospects.
If he ends up in Baltimore, he's a Pro Bowler.
Oh, well, that would be great. All right, give me your stake your claim.
I'm going to go with Carson Wentz will be one of the 5 best quarterbacks in football in 3 years. That's how confident I am. Yes.
That sounds amazing.
So can we one up each other?
So
on
top 5 in 3 years.
I do. I think he has the physical ability to be elite in the game. And that's the first thing you need. The physical ability needs to be there.
Yeah.
And he's very rare with, listen, this is something I think he's going to actually have to change a little bit.
You think
about
he runs into contact too much?
Too much. Hey, dude, this is no longer 1AA football. You can't be lowering your shoulders against guys like Bobby Wagner and things like that.
Top 5 and 3
Have you thought about who the rest of the top 5 is? Because I'd be curious to know who you think Wentz
is going to pass. Well, I think like Cam will still be
there.
Andrew Luck will certainly be there.
Aaron Rodgers.
Wilson. And then Rodgers is going to be on the cusp
of 5 years.
Yeah. So that's going to be...
You said 3 years.
Oh, 3 years. So Andrew Luck will still be there, yes.
Aaron Rodgers. He's all over the place. He's losing validity as we speak. You got another stake your claim?
I got another one. Okay. Nick Vinette from Ohio State will be the best tight end out of this draft. Everybody's on Hunter Henry. Everybody's on Austin Hooper.
He's on Jarrell Adams.
Nick Vinette will be the... He scares the crap out of me. I think it'll be Nick Vinette.
Nick Vinette, the number one tight end in this class.
I'm not mad at that. I like that.
In 3 years.
He's my kind of tight end, though.
He can block.
Exactly. The other tight ends in this class, that's why I like Jarrell Adams. And I've heard some bad things about his ability to, you know, maybe learn things in the classroom, things like that. So that could hurt him. But I agree with you. For my offense, I want a guy that can do both. You know, the kid Hunter Henry at Arkansas. Phenomenal route runner, but I don't know if he'll ever break a tackle.
Jason Morrow, Eric Ebron, those guys don't translate.
They haven't worked out. All right, give me another stake your claim.
Okay, another stake your claim. I am going to say this is one of the all-time best cornerback classes we've ever seen.
All time.
I think you're going to have a lot of top-end starting corners in this class. I'm going to say that. Whether you go to Ramsey, Hargraves, William Jackson, who might be the best of them all, Eli Apple, Artie Burns, the Fuller kid.
You don't even say Mackenzie Alexander,
I was getting there. DJ White at Georgia, I really like. I think you got a lot of big-time cover corners in this class where I say 3-5 years now, we look back and go, oh, wow, this is one of the special cornerback classes we've ever had.
A lot of them in the first round, too.
So, it could set records.
So, again, I want your Facebook comments about this. We're going to collect them, and we're going to do them at the end of the show because we want to get through this because we're actually going to be having Ronnie Stanley, offensive tackle from the University of Notre Dame, coming up in a little bit. So I don't want to waste too much time on the comments because I want to give them their full run. Yep. Do you have more stake your claims?
I got one more.
I asked you for two or three. Did I tell you two?
Yeah, it's all right. I have a lot to stuff.
All right, so give me one more. Give me your best one because I want to move on to the man crush draft.
Okay. I hate to go negative. You know this.
It's okay.
Jack Conklin, if he's drafted in the top 15, will be a bust.
Ooh.
He has the worst feet of any offensive tackle in this class. Not only too technical, because people don't care, but his footwork is all over the place. I know he's mean and he's tough, and he played in the Big Ten. I think he's a guard.
I agree. I mean, I agree with you, actually. Yes. I think he is one of the more overrated prospects in the draft. Yes, he's got power, physical. I don't think he can play left tackle in the NFL.
Right.
He has to be a right tackle. So I'm with you. That's why I like guys like Taylor Decker better than Conklin. I understand this kid.
Yes.
But, I
am going to call this.
Right.
This is called what I call Zach Martin disease.
Right.
And I think now it's been a 2-year diagnosis.
Right.
Zach Martin went. We weren't sure if he was a guard or tackle.
Right.
Might be the best guard in the NFL.
Right.
We saw it with Brandon Scherff last year.
Right.
Now we're seeing with another, Big Ten offensive lineman. You got questions.
Sure.
Take him in the top 15. So he's saying it's a bust. These are good. We need to say this because when he makes a Pro Bowl, we're going to remind you.
Yeah.
Do you have one more that you want to get off?
I mean, I have a lot. First of all, I think the wide receiver class, we're going to look at it and stinks, but I don't even want to use that one. Okay. And mine is going to be Vernon Butler will be the best defensive tackle in this draft.
Of all the guys.
I'm a big Vernon Butler fan.
Over your boy Hassan?
Yes.
Over Hassan Ridgeway.
I think this Vernon Butler kid can be special.
This is interesting.
The negative plays I see that on film, to me, are what I've always told you.
Wow.
He's asked to do things that are crazy at times. Oh, hey, we want you to be three gaps over, and then at the snap of the ball, can you go down to that gap that's 6 feet over there with 200-300 pounders on your back and stop in the hole and just stop everybody? And I think a lot of people who are evaluating are downgrading him for that, and I would say you could put Ndamukong Suh and ask him the same thing, and he's going to get moved out of the way.
Man.
All I know is when he goes man-to-man, straight ahead against people, no one can block him, and if he's not asked to stunt or slant, he gets double-teamed, he does not move. That's why I've told you, I really think he's Muhammad Wilkerson. I think he's going to be a star.
What do you think about what he said?
No, I think he goes in the first round, without a doubt. I think Green Bay would be a great fit for him up front. I downgraded him on conditioning. I thought that he played a lot of snaps.
A lot of snaps in the hot Louisiana sun.
But I downgraded him on conditioning, and that was like the only thing. Like if this was not a historically good D-line class, he would probably be a top 20, top 20.
Man, I'll tell you what. We have bold predictions slated up later.
And
what do they have left for bold predictions?
I do, too. I got more.
All right, so what we have so far for Staking Your Claim, Sim says that Carson Wentz will be a top 5 quarterback in 3 years. It's going to be one of the best cornerback classes we've ever seen. And Vernon Butler will be the number 1 defensive tackle. You say that if Conklin goes top 15, he's overrated.
Yep.
I forgot the other two.
Nick
Vannett will end up being the best tight end.
Right.
And Noah Spence will be the steal of the draft.
Noah Spence will be the steal of the draft. Those are six that we can find out super clear.
Hot.
And you know nobody on like
we've done hundreds of bold predictions videos here in this office where the predictions have been kind of bold, but not that bold.
Right.
But then we call it Stake Your Claim, and
you guys go
bold. The most ridiculous predictions.
Well, I mean, and this is a network television. Like, network television, like, bold predictions right now. It's like, Carson Wentz will be the number 2 quarterback. Oh, really?
Well, that's all they're talking about.
That crap. It's
all right, anyway. Enjoy.
I can't stand it.
Internet. Facebook Live. All right. I want to do a man crush draft, and I am in this. So I haven't actually told you, Josh. Can you just go? We're going to go Miller, because he's our guest. I'll be third, because I'm a very gracious host.
Right.
1, 2, 3, and we're going
to you want me to host this?
Yeah, all you have to do is say, hey, Miller, it's your turn.
Okay, hey,
and
Miller,
we haven't shared
turn.
These with each other, right?
No, I haven't told
you. No, let's go with him first. Let's see.
I think we should let
Lefko
go first.
I that's a good idea. Yeah, Lefko, your man crush
apart.
First.
Yes.
All right, I am going to go, because I could try and steal one from you.
Do you want to explain what you mean by man
crush?
Yeah,
so man crush is guys that you've either been watching or researching or looking up that you go, man, I really like this guy. And
we're not doing like Ezekiel Elliott.
And you're not doing top 10, top 20 guys. Only guys that are either like maybe getting the first round or a little bit later.
Right.
And because with that in mind, I'm going to go with my man crush who was all year. I'm going to go Jerron Reed. I don't think he's a top 10 guy.
Yeah, you're safe there.
Every time I watched Alabama this past year, he was the guy that was like chasing down Deshaun Watson or in the middle just like blowing up people. And I kind of use your way of watching the games where I go, every single time that ball gets snapped, he's in the backfield. Connor, our producer, knows that I said it like in week 2. I just love Jerron Reed.
That's so, like the worst play you see on him on film too. Like
he doesn't lose.
No. No, he does not lose. That's
so. And I do think that we're in an interesting time because a lot of Alabama guys get a bad rap because of the Trent Richardson and because of a few of who is the cornerback that got drafted by the
D.
Jets?
D. Milner,
where they're like, oh, they make them look better than they are.
Right.
Big people are big people.
Yes,
and I don't
are.
Know if you can punk someone by well, he's not really that big. No, you're
he's
that
huge.
Big.
Yeah, all you're right. that big, you're that strong, and you're in the SEC, which has the most.
All right, Miller gets the second pick.
Oh, it's Miller? I thought I was hosting. Sorry. All right, Miller, it's your pick.
Okay, I went deep on these, so I didn't go first
ahead,
round.
Go.
You said
I didn't
go first rounder, so I went Kenneth Dixon, running back from Louisiana Tech.
Okay.
I know he had
one.
Some fumbles in his career. I actually think that's a fixable trait for running backs a
it
little
is.
Bit. He has inside-outside power. He finishes runs with pop for being a smaller guy. Great receiver out of the backfield. I think in a NFL that's going more to passing and being a third-down back, he's going to find a role. I compared him to Devonta Freeman,
right.
who
I
had a great year for the
video
Falcons.
Of this guy. So take me through. I know you like him too.
He's a stud. He has open field speed, and he will put some wood on you if you come down to tackle him. He's
really?
Not afraid to pop you.
How are they getting these kind of athletes? Vernon Butler, Kenneth Dixon to Louisiana Tech.
Right.
Is it just the area?
They were actually a really good team this past year. Yeah, I think they're getting the sleepers that don't go to LSU.
Ooh,
and,
ooh.
Yeah, he was
ooh,
great
like
the Senior Bowl. Great at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, he's made for the NFL because of what Miller just said. He's going to be equally as valuable in the pass game. So like a West Coast offense that's going to go, hey, we'd like to give him the ball 18 times a game as a running back, but we're going to throw it to him another 10 or 12 times. He's going to be right up there.
Imagine him in New England.
Yeah, well, New England would be phenomenal, right?
All right,
exactly.
Who's your
right.
first man crush?
Oh, my first.
I'm so. Josh, please.
You're so bad at this.
Hey, Sims, it's your turn. Who's your first man crush?
Well, my first. I'm going to stay where my heart is. My first man crush is somebody that you just brought up, is my man Hassan Ridgeway.
Yes.
Hassan Ridgeway will probably, not go in the first round, but I think he is one of the best defensive tackles in the draft. And I really look at him and go, oh, man. He's got some elite physical ability. That's what I love. Again, I think he's being downgraded a little bit because of what he's asked to do sometimes on the defensive line and because of what you said, plays too many snaps. And I played at Texas. Yeah. It's 100 degrees in November. You're going to get tired at the end of the game
with
your D-tackle. But all you do is turn this film on, and it doesn't matter what position he's at or what it is. He's in the backfield. He's disruptive. He can hold his ground. So he is certainly one of my man crushes.
You told me, too, when you were watching Malcolm Brown last year, this guy popped off the table
he
a little
does.
Bit, too.
And, I mean, the Cal game, he was unblockable. I mean, there's certain games where, I wrote it in my notes, he is taking turns whooping the crap out of everybody on the offensive line.
It's been a big change for the podcast now that we're live.
Damn swearing crap.
We can't curse the podcast.
Adam, it's your turn. Who's your next man crush?
All right. I am going to try and steal one here, and this is another fringe first rounder. I'm taking Jihad Ward.
Oh, good one.
Jihad Ward, native of Philadelphia, went to New York, defensive lineman from Illinois. He went to JUCO in New York, and the schedule that he had to go through to play football shows me that he's a fighter. And
right.
I know that's like a lot of ancillary information, but when you watch him on film, when you allow me to watch him on film, he has a really long type that I see out of the San Francisco defensive ends, like the Aaron Lynch's and stuff like that.
Right.
But you also see he destroys down the line when he's playing running backs. This is a perfect example.
Right.
Man, I could be an analyst. This is fantastic. I love any big man, too, that's wearing long numbers, like 17. He just kind of has that jump, and he kills people.
When
he hits running backs, you can almost hear the when you're watching it on without sound.
Right.
I think he could be a first rounder.
I think so,
too. I would not be surprised if
Kansas City
drafted.
There's video on his Instagram of him doing the Dominique dunk, and
he's
over 300 pounds.
Right.
Yeah. Sign me up.
Yeah.
I would take that. The Eagles don't have a second or third round pick.
Listen, we talked about corners. This could be, and we've said it, I know, but it could be a record set for defensive linemen. If a run starts, it could be really interesting.
Matt Miller, your next man crush.
I'll stay on the D-line. How about Sheldon Day at Notre Dame? Mm. He's small. I don't care. He has the best motor in college football. I've seen him run down screens.
Right.
Bubble screens. I mean, he's getting out of the hash. Played a little bit out of position for Notre Dame in their 3-4. I think he's a 3 technique, a pass rusher in the NFL, but I love his ability. If he was just a little bigger, he's like 6'1", 285.
Right.
So he kind of has that Will Sutton type
build.
Like the
kid from Clemson last year.
Yes.
Grady Jarrett.
Just like Grady Jarrett.
Right, exactly.
So then what team can take Sheldon Day and make it work?
Well, I think anyone who values versatility up front, the Arizona Cardinals could take him. He would be fine in New England.
Right.
I think even in Chicago, Vic Fangio could find a way to use him because he's had some of those smaller Glenn Dorsey type of defensive linemen. But his motor runs hot all the time.
Yeah, I would really say any 4-3 team's going to like that kid, too. I haven't studied him because I'm only really responsible for the first two rounds and change.
Yeah.
But I have seen him in passing and knew of him. Yeah,
and I know he's a team leader too. And
yeah, 4-3 teams can love him too because again, he can play D end or three technique in passing
that's
situations.
Sheldon Rankin's mold.
Exactly right, that kind of guy.
Chris Sims, your next man crush.
Oh, this shut your really mouth, Adam Lefkoe.
This is hard.
My next
but
man crush.
Breakdown film live. So
you know, who do you guys want me to go with? I could go. One of my first round. It could be Reggie Ragland.
No, go deep.
I really love my TJ Green.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. He's probably going round one now.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to think anymore. Or we've talked about him too, Jarrell Adams. I could go any of those three.
Do TJ.
TJ Green. I really love TJ Green. Yeah. I think he could be a superstar.
You mentioned him, and 3 weeks later, we saw him on every major network, people talking about
thanks,
him.
Thanks, hey, thanks. Thanks, man. Appreciate
Facebook
that.
Live.
But yeah, TJ Green, I think when you look at him, and I know we talked about him a little yesterday when we did this, but I look at guys like Jalen Ramsey and go, oh, wow, we're in WoW with Jalen Ramsey. And I go, here's TJ Green, the same size. He's faster. He's as good a tackler.
Yep.
Now, he didn't play the corner position. He's really only played safety, you know, a year and change, really. But I think there's tremendous upside with this kid. I mean, I hate to always say this, but I've never seen a guy who I had more fun watching him run down people in football. I mean, it was mind-boggling.
Yeah.
I was always like, man, I hope this guy breaks a long one so I can watch TJ hawk him down.
That's awesome.
And the fact that he could do it to some of the elite running backs they played on a regular basis, like I said, Delvin Cook.
Yeah.
I mean, he can run those guys down. You're like, man, he's not even in sixth gear and he's running them
all
down.
Right, I'm just taking this over because I want to be quick.
Please do.
My next man crush, I'm going Devontae Booker, running back out of Utah.
Yeah, sure.
Main reason is I remember watching him late night one night and the hands on this kid catching the ball. I think he had like 80 receptions in 2 years. Something like that.
Right.
I love his build. He kind of reminds me of the kid Abdullah that Detroit
Amir
took
Abdullah,
last year.
Right.
I don't think he is a premier running back that's going to like really be a feature back, but you watch the way this dude cuts.
Yes.
I mean, he's Chef Tony. He's cutting people up. And I just think he is the new age. You got to have one of these guys. And come on.
Look at that.
Come on.
This is the problem, though, right
Tell
there.
Me.
That's the only problem.
Doesn't have a burst acceleration afterwards.
It's always, just got tackled. There it is. We've seen three clips of it. It's everything. That would be my one negative. He is going to have a really productive.
You know the negative I heard? He messed his meniscus up at the end of the year, and he had to have two surgeries to clean it up.
Ooh.
So with a running back.
Hey, Devontae, I still got my man crush on you.
But he's a really good player.
His hands, man. Yeah. Running back with those
against
hands.
Against Cal, he was snagging it on the sideline like a receiver. So, this guy's going in the first round, but I don't care. I love him. Ryan Kelly, Alabama center.
Yeah.
I think I told you guys, I was watching film, and it was like, he's probably a second rounder. And then I had to write a negative, and I couldn't find one. And I was like, okay, I think I valued this guy wrong because he is dominant. No penalties, no sacks allowed, 20 knockdowns. He gets to the second level. He's mean. He just bullies linebackers. You plug him into the middle of your line and don't worry about it for 10 or 12 years.
Yes.
If the Colts were smart, and I don't know if they are, they would draft him at 18 and protect
Andrew
Luck.
It's almost like giving when Peyton had Jeff Saturday, if this guy is as good as you say, it's giving Andrew Luck finally his Jeff Saturday.
It's like Travis Frederick, Weston Rickburg.
Yeah,
like.
Right,
yes.
Right. Yep. Exactly right. He is. I mean,
you like the kid a lot.
I do like him. He's clearly the best center in the draft. There is a few good centers, but he is clearly the cream of the crop. And, I mean, I look at, like, the Seattle Seahawks, too. I know you said the Colts, which would fit.
Well, they got rid of Max Unger.
Exactly right. I mean, he could fit perfect.
All right, so I'm letting you guys know right now.
Yeah.
We went to the bullpen.
Right.
Ryan Stanley couldn't make it. Eli Apple's coming up
in
a few minutes,
cool.
So we're going to talk to one of the better corners up there.
About the fact that he can't cook.
Why?
Anonymous scouts
today.
This morning.
His mom said this, right?
An anonymous scout
we're gonna talk about that.
Says this.
In the meantime, I'd like to get some Facebook comments, and I'm being told from producer Josh that we have some Facebook comments, so let's put them in and talk to the people of the F-Book. Nico Bau, do you think Mo Wilkerson will be traded during the draft? We've heard this before.
I think it's a big possibility. I think he'll be dangled out there.
I think they would love to.
Do you think it happens?
I don't want to say yes. They only have 6 picks in this draft. Even though they won 9 games last year, this is not that good of a roster. You have a new regime.
Does it happen on night one?
I would say day two because I think they could get a second round pick.
Do you think it happens?
I think they're. If you put a gun to my head, I would say no. First of all, if I'm the Jets, I would definitely say no. He's the best defensive player on your team, okay? But having said all that, this is where I think it could happen.
Who would trade for him? That's the question.
Or this is the other thing I look at and go, you know what could be interesting with this whole situation? The Jets, I believe, are interested in Paxton Lynch. If Paxton Lynch is on the board, say, let's say it's anywhere from 12 to 20, right, in that region, and there's the Jets sitting there at 20, and they're going, ooh, okay, maybe we need to get up to 13 and steal that from Miami to get Paxton Lynch. That's where I think the Muhammad Wilkerson conversation could come into play. Maybe Tennessee at 15. Tennessee could use some defensive linemen.
You know, a team I heard that wants to move back is Detroit at 16. They could use a D tackle.
No doubt about it. You're right. It's a very good thought. Right. They've lost a lot of big men in the last few years. So
if that happens,
those are little things that I look at. You know, yeah, whether it happens, yes or no, I don't know.
I need you to focus because you're going to need to focus in the NFL when you're facing a premier young cornerback like Eli Apple. Don't call him Banana. It's Eli Apple.
Well, and he's extra cool, man, because he's from Jersey.
Jersey.
What's up, Dirty Jers?
I'm Jersey Voorhees, close to Philadelphia.
Hey. Wait, hold on. So what is this? They were just talking about not knowing how to cook. First of all, I don't really care, but what is this thing about you not being able to cook?
I have no idea. It just came out today, I guess, out of nowhere. It was an anonymous scout or something, and I don't know where he got that from. I'm a great cook.
Yeah, what if the president is coming over to your house for dinner, what is Eli Apple cooking for him?
You know, some ribs, probably some rice on the side, beans or whatever he wants with it.
I like that. Going with ribs.
Man, I'm not eating anything he cooks, okay? Why? I'm just telling you, I don't know. He don't look like a good cook. He looks like a good corner, but he does not look like a good cook.
When you study this guy on film, what would you want to ask him?
Oh, man. Well, first of all, extremely impressive on film. My thing I want to ask you right now is, do you have a good feel for where and what teams like you and kind of where are you at with this draft right now? You just want to get here and be over with? Just your overall thoughts there.
I'm really enjoying the whole process right now with my family. So once-in-a-lifetime type of process. I'm enjoying that. And the teams I kind of like me are like the Dolphins, the Raiders, the Buccaneers, and the Steelers. They all have shown probably the most interest out of everybody, for sure. And I like them a lot, too. So,
Yes. I would say Buccaneers, you're not going to be there for Pittsburgh.
Okay.
That's probably not going to happen.
Well, hold on. You know what? Actually, let me try something really quick.
Yeah.
You were told that the Raiders liked you when you were in the draft.
Right.
And you thought you might go in the first round.
Right.
And it lasted all the way to the third round.
Right.
Eli is being projected to go pretty high.
Yeah.
What would you tell him mindset-wise to just enjoy draft night and not stress yourself out?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's in a great position, Eli. I mean, just enjoy the ride because you're going to go in the first round. You're going to go in – really, he's going in the first round. We know that. So just enjoy it. He's right. You're with your family, all that. But the other thing is, do you have any specifics as far as scheme you want to be a part of? Because, like, you're a perfect fit for the Dolphins and the Raiders and what they do with their corners. Do you look at things like that, or are you just saying, like, just draft me and I'll figure it out when I get there?
Yeah, I feel like I can adjust to any system. I feel like I'm a good all-around corner that can play this position, so I'm not looking at any type of system. I just want to play my man coverage or whatever the coach tells me to do and just do it well.
That's the right answer.
I would say, how much competition is there? There are, what, 5 Ohio State guys there. How much competition is there amongst you to be the first Buckeye off the board? I mean, there's got to be some bragging rights there with all your teammates.
I mean, I don't know if there's any bragging rights with that. I don't think we're focusing on that too much. We just want to be drafted and get to a team.
Eli, I mean, I know you've seen the other corners. I don't know if you've seen them on film, or at least you probably watched them during the college football season if they were on TV. Who is, you know, let's take Jalen Ramsey out of the discussion, who everyone's viewing as the top guy. But who is a corner in the draft, and it doesn't have to be one of the top guys, that jumps out to you that you've seen, whether in person playing against them or on TV, that you said, man, that kid can play. He's going to open up some eyes in the NFL.
Man, I love Vernon Hargraves, of course. That's my guy from high school, you know. We came in together, same recruiting class, and he jumps off the
table.
You watch him a little bit, just everything he does. I've always liked him a little bit, somebody like a close friend, kind of. Especially now, just seeing him around here in Chicago, talking to him a lot. He's somebody I like a lot. There's a lot of guys, too. Mackenzie Alexander, William Jackson. I just met him recently. He's a good dude, too, as well. Great corner, as well. I'm trying to pick things from everybody a little bit. You never can just learn too much as a corner.
All right, I got one more question for Eli Apple. We're going to let him go because I know he's a very busy man. And this is a question from the movie The Intern that I think is random, and I'd like to see how your mind works. Eli, if you were in a blender and you were the size of a pea, how would you get out? What's the question? You're the size of a pea and you're in a blender. How do you get out? All right, Eli, honestly, thank you for coming on. We really appreciate it. The main thing we want to tell you is have fun. Oh, first of all, what are you doing with Old Spice right now? What are you working on?
You know, right now I'm really working with Heads and Shoulders, and they're really doing a great job getting me play free and everything. So I'm with them as well, you know, just them and my family, you know, they're really helping me stay nice and fresh. So.
Yeah, you do look fresh. Eli, congratulations. Good luck wherever you go in the NFL draft. We're really rooting for you, man. And kick some butt, dude. Enjoy this.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys.
Good luck.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's going to living in Miami.
I'd like the record show.
Right.
That
was the dumbest question in the history of media?
Well, no, Cam, no, that was a good question.
That was pitiful.
You answer the question.
If I was the size of a pea and I had to get out of a blender?
Yeah, what are you going to do?
I have, like, but I'm a human, but I'm the size of the pea?
Yeah.
I don't know. If the blender's really full, I'm going to climb up the other stuff and get out. I don't know.
Do I still have my strength?
Yes.
Oh, then I could climb out.
Oh, because you're so strong.
Okay. No, but if you're that small, like an ant.
Man,
like
was it Head and Shoulders or Degree?
Old Spice.
Old Spice behind
him. All right. He said Head and Shoulders.
Did he say Head and Shoulders?
Yeah.
I couldn't really hear him all that well. I don't think he can hear us all that well.
Either. Eli Apple, don't draft. I'm only kidding.
Better corner than interviewee.
Yeah, he was great. All right, so we got some Facebook comments. Make fun of me because I was so out
Walter
of control.
Walter Cronkite called. Yeah. That was the worst question in the history of media.
Yeah, I thought it would be funny. All right, Philip Jordan Campbell asked, what do you consider the Panthers' most pressing need? And this is very interesting after Josh Norman is now vanquished. What do you think, Mr. Mock Draft?
I think corner is a big need, offensive tackle, defensive end, but this is a franchise that they draft for future need, not current need. Mm. Now you look at what they've done the past few years. Kelvin Benjamin, they didn't go offensive tackle even though Jordan Gross had retired. Last year, Shaq Thompson, outside linebacker for Thomas Davis eventually.
Yes.
So
right.
I would look at strong safety. Keanu Neal would be in play for them.
Yeah.
Kevin Dodd, if he's still there, maybe they go defensive end because Charles Johnson's getting older. But
yes.
I don't think Josh Norman leaving means that Dave Gettleman's going to draft a corner.
Right.
Right.
They needed a corner anyways, though. Even when they had Josh Norman, I would argue they need secondary help. So,
Let's rip through some Facebook questions because we've been waiting for this moment. So next one up is Michael Gonzalez. Michael, thank you, brother. Ooh. Which team would be the best fit scheme-wise for Chris Jones, defensive tackle out of Mississippi State, who you recently ranked very high out of all the defensive tackles?
Yeah. He's
talented. Where would you like to see Chris Jones go? I'm going to give you the Sims scouting report.
Right, go
extremely
ahead.
Big, extremely physical. I mean, look at him. His great plays are fantastic, but he's got a little Kim Dichie in terms of sometimes he doesn't show up all the time.
Yeah.
But when he does...
Yes, there's times where you go, I wish he would just whoop everybody's butt all the time. There's times where he can disappear for a little stints, but I played with Albert Haynesworth with the Tennessee Titans, and this is who this guy reminds me of.
Albert Haynesworth?
Yes, he does. That would be
huge. So where would you like him to go?
Man, first thing you got to know with guys like him, it doesn't matter where he goes. He's going to be awesome in every scheme.
Really?
He'll be unstoppable. Yes. He's like your Fletcher Cox.
Marcel Darius.
Right. It just doesn't matter. They're so big. They're so athletic at that size. He's going to be perfect in any scheme. You know, we're saying, what, Chris Jones is probably somewhere in can be anywhere from 10 to 25, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Any 3-4 team can love him because he can play DN, he can play nose tackle, he can do it all. So I don't know if there's an exact answer
there. He fits anywhere.
He really does.
Chris
he fits
Jones
anywhere.
Is his own scheme.
I think
fit.
Washington would be a fun place for him just because of what they've
done. And they
done
did just lose Pot Roast.
Pot Roast and Jason Hatcher retired.
Facebook comment question number 3 in a row. Yeah. What do we got this time from Alex Reeveman? Who will be the biggest reach in round 1? So this is a prediction. Yeah. Which guy do you think is going to go earlier than maybe he should?
Ooh. Me.
We're
going to
say the same guy.
Me.
Go for it.
Connor Cook.
Ooh, we're not going to say the same
guy. I think Connor Cook has a chance to go at the end of round 1, and he has no business being in the first round of the draft.
It's insulting to the quarterback profession.
It is. It is. I mean, he's a good player. He's done a lot of good things, but I don't know this, but I get the feeling somebody's going to try to get him at the end of the first. And
yeah.
I don't think there's
biggest reach.
First round talent.
If Connor Cook goes in the first round, we're going to kill it, by the way. We are not going to – either of us going to like that. I would say Jack Conklin would be a big reach because we're –
This guy's
he
like
is being talked about right now,
overall,
number 10.
Maybe yeah. top 10 player. Yeah. I don't know what people are seeing. Not to, sorry, Jack, not to make this
yeah, it's okay.
about you all day.
It's not, and here's the thing that I don't think people realize. If I had to like stake my claim on something, it's that because a guy gets drafted at 10, he is not an overrated player. The GM reached too much. So when a player doesn't pan out, it's not the player's fault.
Right.
The GM yeah. took him too right. earlier. The player just got drafted then. Yeah. Just like Tom Brady was not a bad player that overexceeded potential. No. The GMs just didn't see the yep. right stuff. Right. All right, let's go another Facebook comment question. Where are we going? Jorge Gordiles, who will end up being a better back? Ooh. I like this.
I get asked
Ezekiel
this a lot.
Elliott or Todd Gurley? Yep. If you get asked a lot, what do you say?
I always say Todd Gurley. I think he's just a little more explosive. Like they're both very, very good backs. I like them both a lot. I think Todd Gurley is special. He might be the best running back in the NFL already. Mm. Like it's just there's just something there, that little extra.
Sims?
I think I would go with Gurley as well.
It's tough, though.
I just think, yeah, it is very tough because Ezekiel Elliott is phenomenal. But I think I would go with Gurley just because of what you said. I think Gurley's explosiveness, the ability to accelerate through a hole is pretty special. That's the one thing I think I didn't evaluate high enough on him and coming out. Now, Zeke is special, too. Don't get me wrong. But, yeah I think at the day's end, I think I would rather go Gurley.
I know we always want to say Adrian Peterson. I think he's shiftier than Adrian Peterson. He's like, I don't know that there's a comp for Todd Gurley.
Yeah, we're going to find out. The only question is health. Ezekiel always seems to be healthy.
Yes,
that's true. All right, we're going to do one more Facebook, and I want to do quickly after that their last bold prediction. So one bold prediction. So let's go to Facebook comments. Duncan Minutes, I love this. Do your podcast every day on here. And if I count it right, there are 8 exclamation points on that, which is a great use of that thing.
Punctuation.
Yeah,
way to hold it. I like Duncan.
I like Duncan too. We're having a great time on the podcast. All right, so now I want your bold prediction. You may have multiple. Pick your biggest one. I'm going to give my bold prediction first.
Okay.
And my bold prediction, you guys kind of like stepped all over it. I'm going to say half of the first round is defensive linemen and defensive backs. So 16 of the 31 picks will be corners or defensive linemen.
I like that. That's a good bold prediction.
Thanks.
It could happen. If everything falls right, you're going to look like Nostradamus.
I think right around the teens is where there's going to be a lot of movement. And I think from 7 on to like 25, all of those teams, that's their two biggest needs.
Yeah.
And it's two really deep positions.
Right.
And I also think once those D linemen start going, I think you're going to start going, we need to trade up. We don't want to be left without anybody. That's my bold prediction.
Good one. I like
what
it.
Do you got, Miller?
I was going to go very, very specific. I had a couple of these. I'm going to call my shot. I'm going to call Will Fuller 22 to Houston.
Ooh, Will Fuller, wide receiver, 22 to Houston.
Yep.
Give
like
one
that.
More bold
Boom.
Prediction.
Oh, one more. Okay.
Yeah, one more.
William Jackson from Houston, 25 to Pittsburgh.
Ooh.
So William Jackson to Pittsburgh, William Fuller to Houston.
And if I'm wrong, you guys can get in the comments.
Yeah,
let
if you're
me know
if he's
it.
Wrong, let's remind him about it. Because you're above.
Either way, they're good thoughts. I say William Jackson's off the board at before 25.
He probably should be.
I like William Jackson a lot. Okay.
Shout out to Eli Apple, by the way.
I got two quick ones. He ain't going to like the first one. Paxton Lynch will be better than Goff in 3 to 5 years. Okay?
Whoa, okay, so yes,
there we go.
I'm on the camera.
Wow, man! How you like that, Facebook?
So he is saying, just write this down, that the Philadelphia Eagles Wentz, Carson Wentz, will be a top five quarterback in 3 years, and then in 5 years, Paxton Lynch will be better than Jared Goff.
Yes. Whew. Yes. When you think bold, think Chris Sims.
All right, and your other bold prediction.
My other one, this is really bold, but I really think it's a possibility. I think Kenyon Drake could be the best running back in this whole draft class when all is said and done. Because again,
over Ezekiel, over Derrick Henry, who was the number one running back on his team.
Right. I think this kid could be Jamal Charles in the NFL. He talked about the Kenneth Dixon from Louisiana Tech, and we talked about he's made for the NFL. Kenyon Drake has just as much power as more power than Dixon, but the same kind of guy, except I think he's even more explosive. I mean, we all know Kenyon Drake. I don't need to say a lot.
If he could stay healthy.
If he could stay healthy.
That is the question. I'll give you the caveat. If he stays healthy, he could be the best. He'll be the best.
He'll be better than Derrick Henry.
He is special in the open field. He's almost you can't tackle him one-on-one. He, of course, has great returning skills. You can line him up as a slot receiver, and you could go, damn, is he a slot receiver? I mean, that's how
he does kind of have a John Brown look to
him. He's a gifted runner, but he's 6'2", 212. He's got all the Jamal Charles measurables. That's who I compare him to. And whether people know this or not, Jamaal Charles is one of the 10 greatest running backs in the history of football.
Yeah.
But we don't really know it because he's not on a
There's
great
no
Kansas City
Texas
team.
Bias on this side of the
All
set
I know is
either.
The guy is only he's only got 5 yards per carry. There's right. only like one other running back in the history of football that's done that. Right.
Nothing like going out with a bang, bold predictions. I hope you guys wrote this down because we are more than willing to live up to it if we are right or wrong. Matt Miller, Chris Sims, we are going to be live here tomorrow, 2 o'clock, Bleacher Report Facebook. We're going to give you that final rundown, getting ready for the draft. And then during the draft, we are going to be going live for 4 hours, starting right before that 8 o'clock start time, doing every pick, showing you behind the scenes, live on Bleacher Report.
We'll have gossip tomorrow, too. I will have things to tell you from teams and coaches.
And you're willing to share it.
I will share
so
them tomorrow.
So here's the difference. Yeah. These guys are not on TV. We do not have any rights with the NFL to where we can't talk about things. So you're just going to empty it out.
It's coming out.
We are emptying out the draft notebook tomorrow at 2. I'll say goodbye for them. Fendrick, give a good old wave.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Gabe, get that stinky finger up there really quick. Perfect.
Oh, man,
control room. Say goodbye. The beautiful control room. You guys are awesome.
Buenos dias.
The notebook is being emptied tomorrow, 2 o'clock. And for all the loyal Sims and Lefko listeners, we love you. Always follow us on Twitter at Sims and Lefko. Subscribe on iTunes. Maybe leave a comment. We don't have a prompter, so I can just sign out. Love you. Peace.
Peace out, homies.